Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, on this morning's show, we're going to talk with a physician who is squarely on the front lines when it comes to kids and concussions. Now, as we all know, concussions have made sports parents everywhere think hard and long about which contact sports their kids should be allowed to play. And I'm not just talking about football, but also soccer and ice hockey, lacrosse, baseball, and so on. And even more so, what should parents and coaches do when their youngster sustains a solid hit to the head during a game or a practice session? Now, yes, of course, we know about the various concussions protocols and the implementation of impact measuring. That's all great, but are there aspects about concussions and treatments that we aren't necessarily aware of? What are the latest trends and new developments? And to that end, my guest this morning, Dr. Audrey Paul, who is a pediatric emergency medicine physician and is the founder and director of Advanced Concussion Solutions. They have offices in Westport, Connecticut, Garden City, New York. Dr. Paul recently published Concussion, Your Game Plan for Recovery for Parents, Patients, and Practitioners. And a particular note, so Dr. Paul has two children, one of whom is an ice hockey goalie in high school and has actually suffered some concussions himself. And, of course, we'll take your calls and comments at 1-877-337-6666. Dr. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for getting up early to talk about this obviously incredibly important topic. And I do want to start with your son because, you know, as a physician who specializes in concussion treatment, I mean, certainly no one knows more about this medical issue and its implications than you do. But as a sports parent, your son is, as mentioned, a hockey goalie. And obviously, we talked, he has experienced an occasion, a concussion or two. So tell me, how do you balance those concerns, as you know, with the concerns about concussions, along with his desire to play at the high school level?
Well, that's a very good question. It's something that I actually grapple with every day when he comes home and he says, "Oh, Mom, you know, guess what? I had a puck to the head today, but I'm fine. Don't worry. I don't have a headache." So he's actually had a couple concussions, but they were spaced a year apart. And
yep.
His recovery from those concussions was fairly straightforward. He wasn't out of school for an extended time period. He didn't have a lot of extended symptoms from those two concussions. And so if you look at the literature, actually, if you've completely recovered from a concussion, they're essentially two completely separate events. So they're not cumulative. And I think, you know, with anybody's kid, that you have to really weigh in their love for the sport and how important it is to them as their development as a person and in terms of whether they should continue playing or whether, you know, you should just tell them it's time to, you know, hang up your skates and it's really too much already. So
let me ask you about that because I, you know, you just mentioned that the sense I get here is that you're saying that once the youngster has recovered fully from the concussion, then he or she is able to go back and proceed with their sport. I was under the impression that the biggest concern were the repetition of concussions. I guess what that is that if you kid gets a concussion but is not treated for it and then gets another concussion, that's when real problems crop up. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean, I think the real questions are this, and this is the answer. Basically, these are the things we have to ask ourselves because this is really what's borne out by the literature. Is first of all, every time your child gets a concussion, does each concussion take longer and longer to recover? And the second thing you want to know is, does it take less and less of less impact to actually end up with a concussion? I mean, I have had patients who've had concussions who had an initial concussion with a pretty significant impact, but then find, you know, maybe a month later they were on the couch and they, you know, hit their head against the side of a couch with a pretty minimal impact, and suddenly they have symptoms mm-hmm. again. So if you're mm-hmm. finding that suddenly, you know, less impact is actually giving you more symptoms, to me that's a warning sign that it's really time to stop. But we don't really know what the long-term effect of, you know, what the minimum cutoff number would be. You know, is it 3 concussions, 4 concussions, 5? I mean, I think at some point we just use our clinical sense and say, you know, once your kid has had, you know, maybe 4 or 5 concussions, it's probably time to consider doing something else. But if you look at the literature from in the neurobiology fields, they basically show that if you've had full recovery from one concussion and there seems to be a decent amount of time between the next injury, that the two seem to be completely separate. But
now let me come back to your son. And we're talking this morning with Dr. Paul, who's a specialist with pediatric concussions. Let me come back to your son. You said he's had a concussion or two, and he's been fine. But, I mean, certainly at some point, obviously he's aware of what you do for a living.
Yeah.
There must have been some conversations about, okay, ice hockey, particularly being a goalie, this is a full contact sport. How have you discussed this issue with him? How concerned is he? How concerned are you as a parent as opposed to being a physician?
You know, as a parent, we've had this conversation, and as a physician, we basically said, you know, if you have 2 or more concussions this year, I mean, it's basically, you know, we should think about doing something else. Part uh-huh. of it is having one concussion and then another one within a short period of time concerns me enough that he's going to take a long enough break that he's probably going to be out of hockey that season. And the second thing is, you know, cumulative injuries in a short time period, especially if you really haven't had time to recover from the first one, can cause cumulative damage. So, yes, you know, mm-hmm. if he has repetitive head injuries and then the same season, I would say it's really time to take a break. You know, if it's one of those things, he had a concussion 2 years ago and then one year ago, then I think we're okay. But we're sort of, at this point, I think we're really on the fence and, you know, just watching very carefully.
And I gather this is, I'm sure lots of parents obviously come to you with a similar kind of concerns about, okay, my son or daughter's had a concussion, but how do I know if they're fully clear to go back and participate again?
So clearance to play is actually a huge thing, and it's unfortunately, you know, I wish we had that one gold standard test that could tell us, like a strep test. You have strep throat, you don't have strep throat, and that's what I often tell parents. It's diagnosing and clearing concussions is an extremely subjective practice. I mean, it's really, a lot of it's based on symptom reporting, and as we know, you know, a lot of kids, when they want to go back to play, they're like, I'm fine, I don't have any symptoms.
Sure.
And so, you know, what we really need to, there are additional tests that we can do now to get a better sense of whether kids are cleared. So you can do.
Let me stop you right there, Dr. Paul, because I do want to get into this, obviously, for all the right reasons. We're talking with Dr. Audrey Paul. We're talking about concussions in kids. Let me take a time out to do an update. When I return, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Paul and hopefully take some of your calls as well at 877-337-6666. But first, let's get our update. Back with more after this.
This is Carl Banks reminding you to tune in to the Midday Show every Friday for My Keys to the Local Games. Brought to you by Kia on
radio.com. Radio.com.
You're listening to Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge on The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Back here on The Sports Edge, we're talking this morning with Dr. Audrey Powell of Advanced Concussion Solutions, and we're talking obviously about kids and concussions and sports parenting. And Dr. Paul, before the break, you were talking about the various symptoms and concerns that any parent should be checking on with their youngster, and the various, you know, the ways to test or ways you can sort of track for yourself as to whether or not your youngster is having problems. And of course, most kids are going to say, you know, Mom, Dad, I'm fine, I'm ready to go back and play again. But let's Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the essence of what parents really need to know.
Well, when I assess kids in the office, we do a comprehensive assessment. So now there's this thought that not every concussion is the same, but there are different subtypes of concussions. So concussions can affect your balance. They can affect your ability to process information. They can cause headaches. They can cause problems with your vision. So when I assess a child in the office, what I'll do is first I'll check their balance. You know, we'll look at their gait. You'll see how they walk in the office. Can they walk a straight line with their eyes open and closed? I'll look at their vision, their ability to track an object slowly and quickly, whether they can focus in on an object without seeing double. And I'll also actually put them on a treadmill or an exercise bike and see if exercise actually amps up their symptoms. And it's interesting, and besides doing a symptom scale, and I guess after doing this for such a long time, or I guess even if you know your kid, like, you can see even if they're telling you they're fine, when they look green, when you start provoking their symptoms, it's kind of obvious that actually they're really not cleared to go back. So those are some of the things I'll do in the office before I decide that they're ready to go back into a gradual return to play protocol.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously you talk about different types of concussions, and I guess I knew that, but I explained, you said, like, the different symptoms, different types of concussions per injury.
So one symptom that a lot of parents see their kids complain about is dizziness. A lot of times if you see a hockey player, you know, they get struck, they're on the ice, they try to get up, they kind of stumble off the field, or the same thing in football. So a lot of times the vestibular system or the balance system can be affected, and that seems to correlate with a longer recovery time. Some kids actually will report double vision, like they can't focus on objects that are close, and they have trouble tracking words on a page. They say that the letters kind of jump around the page, and that's why they can't read, and they get headaches at school. Some kids will actually have more of a whiplash injury, which I think is actually very common in hockey when kids get slammed against the boards. Other things can be just, memory issues. They can't process information as quickly. Some kids just get bad migraines. If they tend to be predisposed to migraines, they'll get worse migraines. And some kids just have exercise intolerance. So, they can't, where you have an athlete who really could run, run a 7-minute mile, suddenly they can barely walk on a treadmill without feeling kind of nauseous. So concussions can affect different aspects of brain function. And I always say concussions play dirty. So they basically go after whatever your Achilles heel is. So let's say you're someone who's had really bad motion sickness. If you end up getting concussed, probably the first thing to go is you'll start feeling really dizzy all the time. Or if you're someone who's had really bad migraines, the migraines are going to be the thing that you really have to deal with in your concussion recovery. And I think the mechanism for that is that our brains are really good at sort of covering up whatever insufficiencies there are when it's really functioning at its optimal level. But the minute, things go down, your brain is basically trying to maintain a basic level of function, and it doesn't have time to cover up the stuff that usually would bother you on an everyday basis, balance issues or migraines. So suddenly that'll be the first thing that really pops up.
And I gather that because it's all so individual in nature, that it's difficult to put a calendar or time frame on this. Every kid is different in terms of how quickly they bounce back or how long it takes. I mean, is that the way it goes? I mean, I've heard about, of course, concussions that have lasted or the symptoms have lasted for years. Is that unfortunately how it works?
Well, I do tell parents that every concussion is different. They're kind of like snowflakes, no two are alike. But there are trends, absolutely. And so I would say, for example, somebody like a college student who's 18, 19, on average, has had an uncomplicated history, hasn't had multiple concussions in the recent past. Usually they'll recover within 7 to 10 days. Within 10 days, they'll start to feel basically themselves again. And the younger you are, the longer it'll take for you to recover. So if I have a 9-year-old who comes to me with a concussion, I'll tell parents, please don't expect them to get better for the next couple, 2 to 3 weeks, because it just, for some reason, younger brains take much longer to recover from concussions than a more mature brain. So, and I think that goes to saying why even, from other reasons as well, why it's probably somewhat worse to get concussions when you're younger in a way than when you're an adult.
I had not... I mean, I was aware, of course, the fact that particularly the whole controversy about kids under the age of 14 playing tackle football, and the fact that I know Dr. Robert Cantu from Boston University, the neurosurgeon, you know, he was on my show a few years ago, and he said, well, one of the reasons why kids under the age of 14, you know, having difficulty recuperating from concussions is because their neck muscles aren't strong enough yet to support the head with a helmet on. And as a consequence, that's where a lot of the whiplash takes place. It's better when they get to be a little older and they have the musculature to support their head and a helmet. But as you said, this is at a young age when the kid's brain is still developing, this is even more dangerous than as opposed to when the kid is 18 or 19. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. And I think there's a huge push now to actually ban tackle football in kids that are 12
yes.
and under nationwide. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think legislation just keeps getting held up, so no one seems to really want to bite the bullet and just put their foot down. But I do think that it's better to wait until a kid's brains are more fully developed and they actually have, you know, they can accumulate less total brain injuries over a course of a lifetime. I think that reduces their risk of having problems in the future. So, you know, personally, I think that it's a great idea to wait. it's interesting that you bring up the whole neck strength issue because, there's been a huge push and there have been devices on the market as well to talk about, you know, doing neck strengthening exercises to prevent concussion. And unfortunately, I think that's really just a small part of the picture. You know, I mean, it's, I think having, you know, maybe reduces your likelihood of getting whiplash, which then can reduce the chance of getting concussion-related symptoms. But I think that, unfortunately, it's just a very tiny part of the whole piece. So
we're talking with Dr. Audrey Paul, who is a specialist in pediatric emergency concussions. And I just want to make sure people know how to track you down, Dr. Paul. Your website is Advanced Concussion Solutions, and your new book is available. Actually, I guess it's people can pre-order the book. Comes out in a week or so.
Yeah.
But the title is Concussion, Your Game Plan for Recovery for Parents, Patients, and Practitioners. They can certainly go to the bookstore or get it on Amazon. I guess the ebook is available now, but I guess the print version comes out later this month.
Yes, that's correct.
Let me ask you about, and I always like to bring this up so parents understand this, particularly those kids, have kids who play football and other sports like hockey where there's helmets involved. There, every year we hear about new advances with new helmets and the latest scientific breakthroughs and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, no helmet, no matter how sophisticated or how creative or how innovative, no helmet can prevent concussion. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And it's really, if we can find, the problem is that the best helmet that we have is really our skull. And unless you can find something within the skull that can stabilize the brain, you're never going to be, I don't think you're going to be able to design a helmet that prevents concussion. Because concussions are basically the brain kind of wobbling around within the skull. And, you know, that stretching of neurons and, you know, ensuing cell damage is really what results in concussion. So unfortunately, no helmet's going to really be able to prevent concussion. You know, that being said, I think it's really important to have a good, well-fitting helmet because helmets do prevent, you know, traumatic brain injury. And I've seen some, you know, pretty severe cases of traumatic brain injury working in the pediatric ER. So I always tell parents, yes, your kid should wear a helmet, even if helmets won't necessarily prevent concussion.
Let me ask you about, you mentioned before about, and I sort of got you off on a different tangent, about the way that parents can do their own kind of concussion test, for lack of better terminology, if they suspect their kid had a concussion during the course of, let's say, a practice session or a game. Is there something that parents can do at home with their youngster to see, okay, are they, you know, back in the day, you know, if a kid, you thought a kid had a concussion, you would basically ask them to count back from 100 by 7 and stuff like that. But what about today? What is there anything that parents can do to sort of figure out, gee, I think the way to get our youngster to see a doctor?
Well, recently there's a series of papers that come out every 4 years. It's called the Berlin Consensus, and with this, a group of individuals from all over the world come in. They're concussion experts, so they come and meet and come up with guidelines for the latest and greatest in sideline testing. So I don't know if some parents have heard of this. It's called, you know, the SCAT 5, and basically it's what athletic trainers and physical therapists will, or even coaches will use on the sideline to help diagnose concussions or clear kids. So the latest one actually was really interesting because they developed a separate sheet and a separate part of the SCAT 5, which is really for parents and coaches and for people who really don't have a healthcare background, just to figure out whether or not kids should be pulled off the field or not. And so it really just goes through a quick symptom checklist and looks at, you know, whether a kid has obviously had lost consciousness or not, had a seizure. So very basic medical things as to whether, you know, we really should even consider letting them play or not. As far as what parents can do at home, you know, I always say, you know, if a kid's complaining of headache, if their balance seems off, if, you know, they complain that they develop, you know, headaches with reading, if, you know, obviously, you know, they're nauseous all the time, they seem foggy, they're sleeping more than usual. I mean, those to me are all signs of concussion. So those are things that I would say are kind of warning signs. And it's really interesting because the younger you are, it seems like you actually manifest concussion symptoms later. So, you know, I've seen kids who are like 10, 11 years old get concussed, and then the day of the concussion, they're actually fine. And then it's only the next day that they actually start showing symptoms, which obviously can make things more challenging because then you don't even remember the hit from the day before. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, Johnny actually did get hit yesterday. So that's something like to be just keep your eye on for the next 24 to 48 hours, because I feel like sometimes concussion symptoms can take a little longer to show up.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned about the memory loss, because, I mean, that would be, to me, a pretty sure sign or a symptom that there's something to be concerned about. And I guess that does happen.
Yes.
Tell me more about this Berlin consensus, because I'm not familiar with that. And that's just basically testing. They lay out testing procedures for sideline, for coaches and stuff.
Yeah, so it's called the SCAT 5, and basically it's a series of tests that you can use on the sideline for an athlete. In the past, they, you know, it didn't really stipulate who could or couldn't administer it. Now they're saying that you have to actually be medically trained to administer the test, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a physician, that you have to be at least an athletic trainer and someone who's gone through the whole training protocol to be able to assess a kid. Usually it takes some time. It basically means you have to, if you suspect a concussion, you take a child or, you know, an adolescent off the playing field, and you do a thorough exam, you know, you do a mini mental status exam, you ask them, you know, questions like, you know, you give them five words, ask them to repeat them back, give them numbers, ask them to repeat them in reverse order. You also check their balance, you do a neurologic exam. So it's actually it's a fairly thorough assessment. And I guess if you go through that whole assessment and they're completely fine, I guess you might say that they're okay. You know, sometimes it can be a little confusing because some concussion symptoms can seem pretty similar to dehydration and, you know, heat exhaustion. So those are things that, you know, athletic trainers obviously have more experience in, so that, you know, they can have a sense, or a physician can have a sense of whether it's a concussion or something else that's going on.
Okay. Let me reset all this. We're talking this morning with Dr. Paul. We're talking about concussions, kids, and I find this all to be fascinating, really getting into the nitty-gritty of what parents need to know about kids who do suffer head injuries. And as I said at the outset, I think it's particularly relevant since Dr. Paul has a son who is a goalie in high school hockey team. She talks about this not only being a physician, but as a parent as well. All right, let me take a time out. When I return, I will try to punch up some calls. We are having some technical difficulties this morning, but I do hope to get some calls in for Dr. Paul on this obviously vitally important topic. But first, let's take a time out. Mark Erne is here this morning. He's got your update. When I return, I'll continue with Dr. Paul. Stay with me.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge, everyone. I'm Rick Wolf. We're talking about concussions this morning and the latest research and insights. We're talking with Dr. Audrey Paul, about her work in this field. But a couple of quick notes before we get back to our conversation. There was a lot in the news this past week about the passing of Pete Frates, the courageous young man who was celebrated for raising hundreds of millions of dollars to find a cure for ALS. Now, I got to know Pete when he played for the Stanford Robins of the Atlantic Collegiate Baseball League. Pete was an outfielder from Boston College, and I got to tell you, he was the essence of a big league outfield prospect. He was big, strong, fast, super competitive, great personality, just a real joy to be around. In fact, I can still recall the thrill in Mike D'Angelo's voice. Mike was my co-owner of the Stanford franchise when Mike told me that Pete was coming to play for us that summer. Yeah, and I still have a hard time comprehending that just a few short years later, after Pete played for the Robins, at age 27, he was diagnosed with ALS, and he's now gone at age 34. Thing about Pete, he never once complained about the terrible fate he was given. You think about that. He leaves a wife and a little girl. Just a tremendous loss, but Pete's amazing legacy will live on. Just a tremendously wonderful guy with great, great courage. On a more upbeat note, we should talk about Newtown High School, won the Connecticut State Championship in football last night against Darien on a last-second pass play. Very dramatic. You can see the highlights online, but it was just a thrilling game for Newtown. And, of course, it came on the 7th anniversary of the awful tragedy that took place in Newtown back a few years ago. But congratulations to the guys on the football team at Newtown High School. Very, very happy for them. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Paul, and I want to try and see if we can punch up a call or two here. Our number, of course, is 1-877-337-6666. Let's see if we can Jack Smith in Fairlawn. Jack, you there?
No, I'm here. I'm here, Rick.
Jack,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Jack. How are you?
How are you, Dr. Paul?
We're working here. Okay.
You got it up and going.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but Pete Kennedy did. So.
Well, Dr. Paul, I'm a phys ed teacher of over 40 years. I just retired, a coach of the same amount of years.
Wow.
My wife was a coach, a gymnastic coach, and a phys ed teacher. Both sons played sports. And both my sons played soccer. One was a professional baseball player later on in life. And if I would have known what I know now about concussions, I don't think I would have ever let him play football. I really don't, because listening to some of the symptoms and some of the things that could happen because of a concussed brain, I personally, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, I personally don't understand why anybody after two or three concussions would ever allow their kids to play a sport that it's more likely that they will get a concussed brain. Because thinking about the aftermath years down the road, and I know there are really no studies that can tell why but what happens to the brain. I know what a concussion is. The brain, bangs up against the wall of the skull, which can cause bruising. It affects the chemicals and ions in the brain, and that can cause later damage or long-term damage if it's severe enough. But why would anybody ever put their child into that situation? Now, I've witnessed fathers telling their kids to get back out on the field when they I'll guarantee you 100% that they got a concussion. They hit their head.
Yeah.
And, years ago, when Rick and I were young, that was many, many years ago, Rick,
we didn't know about
concussions. I can imagine the way Rick played the game, and I watched my sons play, and the way I played the game. You got banged up, you came out, you shook your head, and you went back into the game.
Right.
But today, it's such a... it's such a dangerous situation. But you told me your son had one or two or three. Me personally, I would tell my son or my child, go find something else, go play tennis or golf. You could play that longer anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Paul, this is this is exactly what we're talking about today, Jack.
Right.
And you know, and Jack, thank you as always for this. I greatly appreciate it. But Dr. Paul, yeah, this is what parents, you know, are up against.
No, I understand. And you know, I've you know, I personally, and like even, you know, in my office, I'll always have parents ask me, you know, okay, like when, you know, their kids come to me now, you know, twice because the one for one concussion, then a year later, you know, maybe even like a couple months later for the second concussion, and you know, they're like, well, you know, when should we quit? One thing I want to set apart is that there are two different types of brain injuries that are going on, especially in some, more in football than in something like in soccer, than and maybe less so in ice hockey. At least I like to tell myself that. But I think with things like football, and especially if you're looking at elite soccer, things that we are really concerned about are really all the subconcussive blows that are going on. So it's not necessarily the concussion that, you know, your kid's symptomatic from. They come off, you know, they look like they're a little bit out of it. They have that vacant stare. You know, they're definitely concussed, but it's more that, you know, this constant like jostling of the brain inside the skull every single day, day in, day out with practice, that we're really more concerned about. And that's, I think, what we worry about more in the long run in terms of, you know, long-term cognitive effects, you know, development of dementia down the road and, you know, early onset Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. I mean, we don't really know that there's a, you know, a definite correlation, but I suspect there really is one. So I think we're much more concerned with that. And so, yeah, you know, I would have to say, you know, obviously everybody makes up their own decision. I mean, I don't think I would feel comfortable putting my kid in that position where they would play a sport that would put them at that kind of risk. I do say, you know, in terms of, you know, my son continuing to play ice hockey after he's had a couple of concussions, I would say that, you know, if it had been, let's say this fall, for example, he had a concussion and then he recovered. And then let's say like 3 months later, he had another concussion and, you know, and then it would look like, you know, possibly, you know, a couple months later, maybe, you know, now he's maybe had like maybe a third, we're not sure, possibly a third concussion. I would say, okay, you know what, that's it. You know, you're not doing this anymore. So I think the reason why I personally chose to let him play were twofold. One is that he had one concussion. I think they were spread like more than a year apart from each other. So, you know, if you look at the biochemical data and all the physiology studies that have been done, I mean, it's pretty clear the brain is, if you have one isolated injury, it's pretty clear if the brain's completely healed from that individual injury that, you know, the next injury is a completely separate and distinct event, so they're not cumulative. And so that was one reason why I was okay with his getting back on the ice. And, you know, you have to also, it's really a balance, and I think parents always kind of struggle with that. You know, I mean, you have, I mean, sports are really important to defining sometimes, you know, a kid's identity. It teaches them, you know, responsibility, team play, you know, big time management, you know, a whole host of things. I mean, we could go into like a million reason why it's great for kids to play team sports. But I think, but that being said, you know, if I had noticed, you know, changes in his personality, his cognitive function, like a whole host of other things, or like it was taking him a longer than normal time to even recover from those initial concussions, he would have definitely not been playing contact sports. So
yeah, and I think it's important as a key takeaway from this, is that, yeah, kids do recover from concussions. It isn't like this is going to be something that's just ongoing for a long, long time. The vast majority of the patients you see, yeah, they recover, as you said early on, but usually within a week or two, they're back to being their normal self. Yes, they got to take maybe 7-10 days off from participating in sports, but, yeah, they do recover. They get better. And then you go on from there. And I think that's the key takeaway, particularly with your son, because, yeah, he had a concussion playing hockey, but then he got better and he recovered and he's good to go and continue his career.
And I think, you know, something that parents forget is that, you know, you have to let your child get up in the morning and get out of bed. I would say that half of the kids that I see who come in for concussions are not sports-related concussions. So, you know, it's just the risk of life. So, you know, you get out of the bed, you walk into a wall, you know, like a mirror falls on your head, you know, you're at the playground, one kid tackles another kid. Things just happen. So I think that we have to find a balance. I don't think we, you know, there's this tendency to go to one extreme or the other. And I think to say, like, you know, we cannot allow kids to play any sports, you know, no soccer, no contact sports at all, I think is a little bit extreme. I think the better thing is to learn how to teach kids to play sports safer. You know, so for example, even with football, let's say changing the, you know, the age where we introduce tackling, I would say even later than 12, honestly, I would probably bump it up to like 14 or 15.
Right.
But, you know, in ice hockey, for example, you know, changing the age when we introduce checking, you know, all these things really make a difference in the long run. So if we can just make the games that people play safer, then I think we can let kids continue to play and not worry so much about the, you know, traumatic effects of cumulative brain injury.
We're talking with Dr. Audrey Paul, and I just want to emphasize as well that, as you just mentioned, that, you know, half your patients apparently have concussions, not from playing sports, but just from living their lives. And I want to once again emphasize along those same lines that, yeah, a lot of attention is paid to concussions in football, but certainly concussions take place in sports like soccer and hockey, of course, and field hockey and basketball. It's not limited just to football. That gets all most of the headlines, but it's pretty much in any contact sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, let me take a time out again, hopefully we'll take some more calls when we return. We're talking with Dr. Paul about concussions. You know, you can find her website at Advanced Concussion Solutions. And she has her medical practice, has offices in Westport, Connecticut, and also in Garden City, New York. Her new book is called Concussion, Your Game Plan for Recovery for Parents, Patients, and Practitioners. Let's take a time out, get an update, and come back with more. Stay with me.
Radio.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge. We're talking about kids and concussions this morning. My guest is Dr. Paul, who is a specialist in this particular area, working primarily with youngsters who have suffered concussions. And, you know, Dr. Paul, in the little bit of time we have left, I do want to come back to an issue that, I mean, it seems, well, as Jack Smithman had alluded to earlier when he called. You know, when I was growing up, when a lot of sports parents were growing up, nobody really gave concussions a second thought. I mean, you know, if you got hit in the head playing football, you came off the sidelines and you were dazed and sort of groggy. And, you know, the coach would sort of say, okay, sit out for a few plays and shake it off and come back and play, you know, in the second half. It just, that's how it was. Not particularly enlightened, that's for sure, medically, but that's how people looked upon concussions as all part of the game and nothing to be terribly concerned about. But
sure.
Now, of course, with concussions, we know that there are serious long-term effects. And I have to ask you, in your practice, and I know you see a lot of kids who play the variety of sports, are we raising a bunch of kids today who are, for lack of a better term, that they're worried or concerned if they're diagnosed with having a concussion? How do you read them in terms of their being just, you know, again, these are young kids, 10, maybe high school age kids. How do they react psychologically to the idea of being said, okay, you got a concussion and, you know, you have to sit out. And if you get another one, we'll have to make, you know, consider other possibilities. What's your sense of the kids today and who you see, how they react to being having a concussion?
That's a really interesting question, and I think it really depends on the child. But, you know, I think kids are just generally a little bit more stressed out today than they were when we were growing up. Obviously, they have a lot more things to worry about, but and they do have access to a lot more information than we had. I do actually have, like, a small percentage of kids who, when I speak with them, are genuinely concerned about, you know, CTE. And actually will ask me, you know, oh, my gosh, I had a concussion. Does this mean I'm going to go on to develop CTE? So,
right.
You know, I think it is something that in the back of their minds they're definitely concerned about. You know, this, I think, not so much for the kid who comes in who's had, you know, one concussion, but perhaps for the kid who's had maybe, like, you know, now they're had you know, two concussions, or it's taking a really long time for them to get better. They have post-concussion symptoms. I think those are the kids that really, you know, tend to worry a lot more, you know, and, you know, it's funny. Some of them even ask me, like, if I can actually diagnose it, which obviously, you know, CTE is a post-mortem diagnosis. It's something that's made on autopsy. But, you know, but they really, you know, it's something that they really are worried about. So,
yeah, I mean, I this must, again, be a new sort of wrinkle in working with kids who obviously are saying, hey, you know, Dr. Paul, this is my second concussion. Does this mean I should just totally quit playing sports, or how concerned should I be? Will this eventually lead to problems down the road? Obviously, their parents are concerned as well. It's got to be very, very difficult to try to walk that fine line.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. And, you know, I think this is, you know, we wonder, well, how come we didn't worry about it, you know, years ago when we were growing up? But I think a lot of it even has to do with the way kids play sports and the way they hyper-specialize at a very early age. You know, I think we play sports much more aggressively than we used to. I think we're much more focused on, you know.
No question about that.
You know, kids, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there's no question that today, as you all know, youth sports is at a much more aggressive, ambitious, hyper level. No question.
Yeah.
Well, this has just been fascinating. Obviously, Dr. Paul, I thank you for spending some time with me this morning talking about
these
very, very important issues. And, you know, we'll bring you back on again to talk some more about concussions. Again, it's Dr. Audrey Paul. Her book is called Concussion, Your Game Plan for Recovery for Parents, Patients, and Practitioners. And you can check out her offices, Advanced Concussion Solutions in Westport, Connecticut, Garden City, New York. And that's also her website as well, Advanced Concussion Solutions. Dr. Paul, thank you again. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you.
Take care. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks, big thanks this morning to Pete Kennedy. Please stick around for JJ. He's up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.